Not just because we just ate. I mean, that too. But I just feel so refreshed. Is it just me? Do you feel refreshed, ladies? I pray that you do. I mean, yeah, we're tired. We've had a long, you know, we don't sleep that good when we're away. But I don't know. The Lord can just move a mountain in our lives as far as his goodness. And I tell you what, it doesn't matter the amount of sleep you get. You feel refreshed. Praise the Lord. I have enjoyed every moment with you. And I will say, Kentucky has a special place in my heart. Because, not because of the terrain, not because it's warmer here, not because, you know, I love the southern nature. I love you little y'alls, Tracy. But it's because of you. It's because of you. You guys are just amazing. I love it. You're gems in the Lord. I've been so honored to be here with you. So thank you. Thank you for having me. Hold on. Let me take one swig. One quick swig. All right. Well, ladies, I tell you what, we've gone deeper this weekend, haven't we? We've gone deeper in our hearts, allowing the Lord to just tenderize our hearts and cause us to be just sensitive to his voice, causing us to be teachable and transparent. I feel like that's been a good thing. You guys have really been connecting with each other. I see that. And that's because our stories are so powerful. And to be able to share our lives with others is just so powerful. You've gone deeper in our desire, as Tracy shared this morning. Wasn't that so good? Didn't you love that, what she shared about our desire, just growing in that desire? Because the Lord is not going to kick us out of the boat saying, go deeper. Like I was talking about my story with Gabby last night. You know, we can't kick her off the boat. I mean, we could have. But the Lord is such a gentleman. He woos us with his love. He says, come deeper. I'm not going to let you drown. Come on, my daughter. You might have to kick a little. You might have to... You know, take some deep breaths and really, you know, rely on some of my strength, because it's not going to always be an easy thing. You might be going against the tide sometimes, but I'm here to love on you and carry you through it all. So that's been so good. And then the workshops. I don't know, you guys, the workshops were amazing. I've loved all of them. The deeper in relationships, deeper in forgiveness, you know, and just deeper in faith. I love everything. The food has been amazing. I mean, everything about this weekend, I've loved everyone claps for that. Yeah, the food. And even just the dance, the worship, I mean, everything. Ashley, singing, I mean, I have loved every bit. I keep going on and on about this, but I just say the Lord has been good. He's fed us well. He's fed us well. I love it. Well, today before we head home, I just have a short and sweet message, because it's 2:08, so we have a half an hour, but a short and sweet message that I really feel is going to carry you, because we're going to go home to our families. We're going to go home to probably issues of life. And we sometimes, because we're human, we forget about what God wants to do. And just, you know, so this is a word to just encourage you to stand strong in your faith as you go deeper, okay? So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this afternoon, Father. And we just ask again that you give us ears to hear your voice. Lord, that we're just sensitive to your spirit, Father, and we're believing that you're just going to show us more of your love, but you're just going to gently guide us along the way, Father. And for those who are here, Father, who you've already spoken to, I believe it to be true that you've given them some desire of things that you want, you've planted in their heart, Lord, that this will encourage them to go forward in that and to not lose courage as they step out of the boat. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Because we know the goal, what the Lord is doing, he's refining us. Pretend like this is sea glass. I always think, I can't believe I should have got sea glass, but isn't this so fun? That our goal as we go deeper is it will reflect Christ. This is our goal. This is who he wants us to see, be able to show people who he is, the true nature of who he is. And so this is our goal as we go deeper, that we will reflect the Lord in all that we say and do. So open your Bibles this afternoon to Joshua 21, and we're going to read verse 43. 45. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors. And they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all of their enemies into their hands. And then verse 45 says, not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Okay, so in this portion of scriptures, the Israelites are now finally in the promised land, okay? So they've gone through all this wilderness experience, and they've finally been brought into the promised land. And the Lord says in this verse, I love it, not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. So, and as I read this scripture, this talks, I think, about going deeper. Because as we step out in courage, we have to remind ourselves that God is for us. He's not going to let us drown. And so this is a portion of scripture that I hope will bring you hope as you go forward. Not one of the Lord's good promises, and I want you to say this out loud. We're going to say this together, and I want you to put your name in there, okay, where that little blank is. So we're going to read it. I'm on the count of three, and you're going to write say your name in there, okay? Not one, okay, ready? Sorry. One, two, three. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Lisa failed. Everyone was fulfilled. All came to pass. Okay, we did pretty good, but we should do it again. Okay, all right, so yell out your name in there, okay? Not just Lisa. I tried to do it soft because I don't want to take over, but say it, yell your name out there. Let's proclaim this because God is for you. Okay, one more time. One, two, three. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Lisa failed. Everyone was fulfilled. All came to pass. Amen. Amen. How many of you believe that? Amen. We need to stir up faith in our hearts. I'm a farmer's daughter, originally from Nebraska. And so my dad, you know, he would cultivate the soil every spring before he planted. And there's something about cultivating that just breaks up the stony ground. And so this kind of scripture is what breaks up that stony ground as we're believing in faith. God is for us. He is for us. He's planted good seeds in your heart this weekend. And so you go home and you remember this promise that he is for you. And so you're going to launch out into some deep waters. The Lord's already revealed to some of you maybe to start a business. Maybe to some of you it's to go into the ministry. Maybe to some of you it's to be working with the children at your church. Maybe it's to start a small group, or maybe it's even just to stay at home with your kids. Maybe you're working and the Lord's put in your heart, you need to stay at home with your kids. I don't know. Maybe you're a grandmother here and the Lord says, I have some plans for you to be able to stir up soil in your grandkids' lives. So whatever the case is, God has something good. He's already planted seeds in your heart. Maybe some of you want to get married. Maybe some of you want to get pregnant. The Lord has a plan. He's stirring up this promise. Marriage, then pregnancy. First, right, ladies, right? But there's just something that leapt in my spirit when I read this verse, and I just felt like this is from the Lord, that God is faithful. He wants to speak this over you. Not one of the Lord's good promises to you will fail. It may not look like what you think it's going to look like, but God is not going to fail you. He is for you. He is for you. His promises are true, and they're yes and amen. And so we know the opposite of fear is faith. Well, the opposite of faith is fear, right? And so I just was thinking, I did some research on some fears. You know, if you ever have Googled fear, there's some really interesting ones. So just a few examples here. Some words of faith, fear, and arachnophobia. Does anyone know what that is? Fear of spiders, right. Claustrophobia, small spaces, yeah. Coaster phobia, fear of roller coasters, that's right. Okay, this is an interesting one. Papaphobia, you're not going to get this, I tell you. No, it's a fear of the Pope. I don't know, that's what it says, the fear of the Pope. Some people have it. And then this one, nomophobia, which I think I might have this one. Nomophobia, and it's the fear of not having your cell phone close to you. That's so bad that we actually have a fear of that now. But listen, ladies, the phobia means fear, and it's the opposite of faith. It's the opposite of faith. Fear is like a Goliath. It just taunts us. It's the enemy's main target for us as humans, especially as women, because we as women are influencers. Men are as well, but there's something, like Tracy said this morning, about a woman's touch, that we are an influencer in the home, in the community, and in, you know, in your neighborhood, your workplace, you are an influencer. And so, look at where the serpent went. Who did he go after? He went after Eve. Did God really say that? Did God really say that? So there's something about the enemy going targeting women because of our influence, because we even have a lot of influences over our husbands, don't we? A lot, and sometimes it's not good. It's not a good influence. So we want to be positive influencers for the Lord and walk in faith, right, ladies? Amen. So fear is really, if you look at the root of it, it's rooted in pride. And pride is rooted in self, right? Self. And so we get our eyes off of Jesus, and so easily, something comes our way, something happens, whatever, we get our eyes back on ourself. And I don't know about you, but first thing in the morning, I can be thinking of who? Me. First thing in the morning, I think, I need a coffee. I have to take a shower. The more I get older, I think, I have to get in the shower. I have to get ready. I have to put makeup on. You know, it's like a hassle. But, you know, this self, I always begin thinking of myself. And so first thing in the morning, it really helps me if I can just get on my knees and say, Lord, this day is for you. Help me not think of me so much because I veer towards self. I can start off good and, you know, and then something happens and I just am back to self. And it's that, again, that pride thing. It's so easy to just veer towards self. And, you know, sometimes, and going back to the deeper, we fear failure because we don't want to take a risk. We fear being rejected, so we don't step out in love. We fear giving because, you know, what if we don't get back and what if God doesn't provide? And, you know, we fear going deeper because it's going to be out of our comfort zone, just as we've been talking about all weekend. So fear is not good, but we're going to be women of faith. And the Lord says, not one of my good promises will ever fail, will ever fail you because he is for you. So when we planted our church in New Hampshire, Gabby was 6 weeks old, and the boys were 3 and 5. So we drove in our minivan into New Hampshire over the hills, and we're driving in, and we felt like the Lord saying, you're going to start a church, and we were kind of excited about that, and we thought, we'll go south. We were living in Massachusetts at the time as youth pastors, and we thought, oh, good, God will move us south. We were excited about that. Or maybe to Nebraska or in the Midwest where my family's from. I was excited about that. Well, guess what? God didn't move us south. He moved us to New Hampshire, north, to the tundra. No, I'm kidding. But more further north where it's cold. But we were excited after we wrapped our heads around it. We were excited about it. We drove into New Hampshire thinking, we are God's answer to New Hampshire. Thank you, Lord. Here we are. We're driving our minivan in. Well, good thing the bananas are here. It's okay. New Hampshire, you're going to be okay. The bananas are here. Well, surely a little bit later, probably a matter of weeks, I told you a little bit last night, it was not so fun. And years later, I mean, we started with just Peter and I, and then we had another couple come in. In fact, Mindy, raise your hand. So Mindy's sister-in-law came to the church, and she was one of the first ones because Mindy's from New Hampshire area. And she came to the church, and so we had this small group of people, but it was not growing like we thought. This church, we thought we were God's answer, and it was so small. And so it was like, it's like a drop in a little rock in the lake of huge Lake Winnipesaukee. This is not really going to make that much of a difference. But yet, God kept saying to us, you hold on to my promises, you hold on to my promises. In fact, he said, every place the sole of your foot will tread, I will give it to you. And that's Joshua 1:3. And so the Lord had us begin doing prayer walking. I cleaned houses on the side to help support the family. And while I was cleaning, I would be praying in the spirit a lot of times, just praying through the homes and just asking the Lord, you're doing something in us. Because he does something in us while we're waiting, right? In the process of our promise coming to pass. And so sure enough, he sure did. And whenever fear would creep into my heart, which it does, because we're human, I would just begin to proclaim God's word. And Psalm 56:3 says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? So I just cleaned houses, and I would just proclaim his word. I proclaim his word. Another thing I did, and I still practice this, have you ever heard of Pastor Brother Lawrence? He talks about practicing God's presence. And this is another habit that I encourage you in, ladies, is that at the stoplight, or in the shower, wherever you are, you just begin thanking Jesus. You thank him in advance. You thank him in advance for his promises coming to pass. You don't entertain those lies. You know, you don't let the enemy speak those things over you. You just begin, thank you, Lord, that wherever I am, whatever task I'm doing, I'm just going to praise you. I'm just going to praise you. I'm going to move my mind up to you. And that's a good habit. It's a really good habit. Well, I just have three things that I want to share with you as we close today. And you might say, why do you always do threes? Well, I don't know why. It's just a pastor thing, I guess. I'm a decorator, so when you stage anything like a little vignette or something, you do threes. So maybe that's why I do threes. But whatever the case, you have three things. So it's easy to remember, and it's simple. So the first one, ladies, if you're taking notes, this is the first thing I want to leave you with as you go forward this weekend. Be a woman who steps out in courage. Be a woman who steps out in courage. So what does it mean to be a courageous woman? Someone who is established and firm, secure, valiant. And so much of my life personally has been about having to step out in courage. And to be honest with you, ladies, I am the least of all courageous people. I am probably the least on the whole radar, because some people love risk. They love that. They thrive on that. Not me. I'm a farmer's daughter. I like the security of my private area. I love the countryside. I love just being kind of alone, even though I love people. And here the Lord says, you little farmer's daughter. And I was always small in school, and I was always the least likely, you know, the last one picked. Oh, okay, Lisa, you can be on our team. You know, things like that, least likely. So that was all of my upbringing, the least likely. And yet the Lord says, Lisa, this is where you're going to go to college, right here. So a Christian college, I went to Oral Roberts University. And it was there that the Lord kind of imprinted on my heart that, hey, maybe you could be a leader in your college campus. And so I began stepping out in that way. And then little by little, I met my husband, and I began stepping out in that way. And he's from New York. And so again, it was another thing of having to step out and trust the Lord, because I was a little farmer's daughter from Nebraska, and I moved all the way up to Massachusetts, which seems like a big deal back then, right out of college, to marry Peter, Mr. Italiano. And so that was a big risk for me. But all along my journey, the Lord says, I am with you. I am with you, my daughter. You're not going to fall. You're not going to fall. You might fail, but you're not going to fall. You're not going to fall. So the primary source of courage in our lives is the Holy Spirit. He spurs us on into courage, ladies. He spurs us on in going deeper. So as you forge ahead this week, and the further on in the year ahead, just remember the enemy fights for you. Step out in obedience, and the Lord's going to take care of the rest. Amen? Amen. And sometimes it takes courage just to go across the room and talk to somebody. Just want to read this quick little note. And this is from when we left our church. They gave us a little celebration. And at the celebration, we had a lady who handed me this note. And she said, that you didn't know this about what you did, but this is what you did for me. And I just want to read it because I didn't know. And a lot of times when we step out in courage, we don't know who we're going to impact. We might not know until we're in heaven who we see, who we've impacted. And yet, the Lord, when you step out in courage, it's making a difference, ladies. So this is what Mary says. It's a woman in our church, a single woman. She had two little girls, and she was raising them by herself. And this is what she said. She was divorced, and she was in a relationship before, but she was divorced when she came to us. This all leads me to the first time I met you. Church service had just ended a while, and we were in the sanctuary, and you came over and introduced yourself to me, and you said to me, you have such a beautiful smile. You were the first person to say that after my ordeal. I felt broken and scarred and battered inside, but you talked about the one thing I had always felt was my best feature. I didn't feel pretty with a fake tooth and a scar, but you touched my soul with these words. I heard the Lord say these words, and you spoke them to me. That was just what I needed to hear. You didn't know my story about my life, but you thought my smile was beautiful. You helped bring beauty to the ashes I was feeling. My heart was forever touched. And I just share that with you because that's what stepping out in courage is. It's not about making a huge, sometimes we have to make this huge wave of difference, but sometimes it's just the little things. A hug, a smile, just a little note to somebody, maybe going across the cafeteria in your school and and sitting with someone who's by themselves. Whatever it is, step out in courage, ladies. Amen. And the second one, be a woman who rests in his comfort. Be a woman who rests in his comfort. Whatever you're facing, God is with you. How many of you would say honestly, sometimes you worry, that you veer toward worry before you veer toward faith? Amen. It's okay. I have a friend, and her nickname is Red Alert. And what she says, I know, I'm Red Alert, I know. So she just veers toward worry. She veers toward fear. And I love it that she jokes about herself. But, you know, I have this little sign in my bathroom that says, don't worry about tomorrow. God is already there. So rest in his comfort, ladies. It's such a good reminder, especially because we're in the bathroom a lot, to just rest in his comfort and don't worry about tomorrow. I wanted to just share a friend of mine. Her name is Linda, and she had a son who was about the same age as our son. So he was 13 at the time, and our son was 13. And he had a really bad migraine one day, and so she just kept him home from school. And 2 days, it was another same thing. By the third day, she took him in and ended up, he had bacteria meningitis. And he died suddenly. And so it was a kind of rocked our family because our son was so close to this little boy who was 13. Well, so Linda, you know, she's a really godly woman, and she stood secure in the Lord. Well, just 2 years ago, her oldest son was killed in a car accident. And he had just had a baby, and so you think, two tragedies to this family. How in the world? Two children. That's awful. And I asked Linda, because she's just such a good friend to me, I said, Linda, how do you make it? I mean, this would rock anyone's boat, and we would be like, I'm not getting out of the boat again, right? But she says, Lisa, the comfort of the Holy Spirit is so good, and I must choose to rest in that comfort, even when I don't understand. And some days, she says, I'm just sad. And that's when I put on worship music. I listen to the Bible. Sometimes I can't even read it. I have to listen to it being read. Or even if I just can meet with someone and just let them just love on me. She goes, that's what gets me through. I find comfort through the Lord in that. And she says, it's just, that's one of those things that you don't ever think will happen. You know the song that we sing? I'm not going to sing it because I'm not a singer. I wish I was, but it says, and I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, because it's going to rise, the ocean's going to rise, what happens next? My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. So resting in his comfort when you face things that are out of your control, ladies. Okay, let's veer our heart and mind back to this. For he's for us. He's going to carry us through. Rest in his embrace. And the third thing, this is the third and final, be a woman who holds on to hope. We've talked a lot about this weekend, right? Hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. Don't let go. Don't let go of hope, the promises of the Lord. This scripture, I just want to read it to you. This is found in Romans 4:18, and I think we have it on the screen. This is about Abraham, this old man Abraham, who the Lord had said to him, you're going to be the father of many nations. There's going to be a seed and offspring that come from you. And he's so old. He's so old. And he never saw the promise come to pass. And yet, this is what the Lord, this is the scripture in Romans 4:18. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He wasn't lying when he said that. He was being pretty real. My body is as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. What was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written not to him alone, but for all of us. For all of us to whom God will credit righteousness, for who believes in him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He was delivered over to death for the sins and was raised to life for our justification. So we believe. We have hope. Abraham hoped, and we can as well, ladies, right? So say that. Lord, stir up hope in my heart. Say that with me. Lord, stir up hope in my heart. Amen. Amen. Hope is hold on. It says, I just like this little acronym. Hope is hold on, pain ends. Hold on, pain ends. And it may not end in our timing, but we hold on to hope, meaning Jesus. It may not happen until we see him face to face, but pain will end. So we hold on to hope for your husband, for your children, those that you're praying for, all those in your life, maybe a dream that you think will never come to pass. You hold on to hope. The Lord is for you. He is with you, and his timing is perfect. So ladies, let's trust the Lord as we go deeper this the rest of our lives, not just this weekend, the rest of our lives. Let's trust the Lord, amen? Because he has good things in store. Not a one of these promises will fail. And the goal is that we will sparkle like Jesus. My mom, I think I told you, and I'll just close with this little story. So my mom, she had cancer. And, I'm going to cry. she was a godly woman, beautiful godly woman. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, she got this cancer diagnosis. And she was very healthy and, you know, very active. And yet, you know, she got this cancer diagnosis. And she went through all the treatments and held on to the promise of God. But the Lord had like bigger plans for her, and he took her home with him. But before she died, it was really cool. I had the awesome opportunity of just spending time with her. And that's one blessing of cancer, is you really get to spend time with your loved ones. And so I count that an honor. But anyway, we were sitting in her kitchen, and she was in the time, she was living in Tulsa, Oklahoma with my dad. And she wasn't feeling good that morning, and I was trying to get her breakfast, and I'm trying to serve, and I'm trying to be, you know, what can I get you, Mom? Help me help you, you know, and all that. She's just like just sitting there watching me, you know, and I think they have people who are dying really have a perspective about life. It's really pretty cool. And so she's just watching me, and she sat at the table, and she just, we're going deeper. Anyway, she sat at the table, and she just put her hands in her, you know, kind of like on her chin like that. And I thought she was going to say, oh, could you get me some strawberries, or, oh, I'll take a little yogurt, or whatever. And instead, she just looked at me with a smile on her face, and she said, Lisa, you sparkle. Those little words, Lisa, you sparkle. And it was like the Holy Spirit said that to me. And I say that over each of you, ladies. It's like he says that over you. You might be going through a hard time. You might be going through something that's beyond your control. Yet the Lord says, I'm refining you. You sparkle. Hold on to hope, ladies. Hold on to hope. And just as this gem reflects the light, it's his presence in you that's sparkling out. And yeah, our lives don't have to be perfect. Yeah, we're pretty messy and we can be messed up. But we are women of faith. We are holding on to the promises of the Lord and we're not going to stop. Amen. When the enemy taunts us, we are going to go back to, nope, this is what Jesus said, and I'm going to believe in his promises, and I proclaim that over you today. You hold on to Jesus. You hold on to hope. Amen. So imagine this. Let's imagine if we all were women of God who really reflected him and really walked out what we were talking about this weekend. Think of how we could change the world. Think of it. Think of how you could change your family and live so brightly for him. And that's what my prayer is for you. I have one of these for each of you. I just found these at a little antique store. And so I want to give these. So make sure you get one before you leave today. I just want you to be reminded of this. You can use it as an earring. Or you can get two of them. Or you can put it on a necklace. Or you can put it on your car mirror or whatever. I don't know. Wherever you want. Whatever. You can put it in your Bible, or you can even put it on a shelf and not look at it. I don't care. Whatever you want to do, just hold on to hope, ladies, and be reminded that I'm praying over you. And I want to pray over you right now, okay? Will that be okay? All right, so let's just close with prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just proclaim a blessing over each of these ladies today. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with a deep longing to experience his presence and a heart of joy in response to the living God. You are blessed because you draw your strength from the Lord, and he dwells in you, and he walks with you. You will not perish on the journey. Your acts of worship, your heart that longs for more of Jesus, will create a safe passage through the journey of life. May the Lord be your courage, bring you comfort, and fill your heart with hope. Your Father leads you from captivity into prosperity, from fear into love, from offense into forgiveness, from sickness into health, from destitution to plenty. God's heavenly shield surrounds you, even if you feel like you are alone. I declare what God has decreed. I have your back. I surround you, and I am in your midst. May you, each and every one of you, experience radiance coming from God's face, his presence filling you with joy, his hand holding yours, leading you in the right way as you go deeper in him. Lord, just cascade over them with your love. You adore them. Pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.